for Steve Gallimore Live. For the next hour, we'll examine the world around us through news, science, and philosophy. Then we'll open up God's Word to put it all into perspective. Now here's your host, Steve Gallimore.
Great to be with you today. We have a topic I know you're going to enjoy: how to make good decisions. How do you do it? This is something, of course, that is so personal to each one of us, because all of us want to make the right decisions, not just about eternal life, of course, which is the greatest decision that we'll ever make, but what about those day-to-day issues that we deal with, making the right decisions? Our guest today is psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings, and we're delighted to have him in the studio with us. He joins us from time to time, and we're going to have a wonderful discussion today about making good decisions. You can be part of that. All you have to do is pick up the phone, give us a call. We'd like to have you here as part of the discussion. Our number is 800-775-4673. 800-775, and that easy to remember word, HOPE, H-O-P-E. That's really what it's all about, isn't it? Having hope for the future, hope in eternal life, hope in Jesus Christ. And we're going to today do as we always do. We will take a look at the world around us, and we will try to go to the Bible and make sense out of all of it. Our number is 800-775-4673. So we're waiting today for your phone calls. We'd love to hear from you. Now, I have in my hand a book that we have not made available in a while, but we're going to do it today. We have one of these, and it is the book by Dr. Tim Jennings, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. If you'd like to have a copy of this book, all you have to do is call in, join us on the air, and we'll at least make you part of the drawing at the end of the program for this one book that we're giving away. We'll also, of course, tell you how you can get it if you don't have a copy of it. Our number is 800-775-4673, so it's easy to call us. According to the New Scientist, they have an observation here about making decisions. In fact, they had a whole article about making decisions. And kind of the bottom line in that article is that emotional decisions are not usually the best decisions. Now, probably most of us realize that already, but here's a short quote from them. It says, when we are distressed or otherwise emotionally aroused, we seem to be incapable of soberly weighing our options. Instead, we are often led by our feelings. Is it ever a good thing to make a decision based on feeling? Well, once again, we have psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings with us today, and I can't think of anyone more qualified to answer those kinds of questions than Dr. Jennings. Now, we have our Bible question. We always have our Bible question. We want to get us digging into the Bible. Here it is for the day. What does Paul say is the effect when a person's mind is controlled by the Spirit of God? What is the effect on a person when their mind is controlled by the Spirit of God? All of us, of course, should be controlled and led by the Spirit of God, but what does that mean exactly? We'll talk about that today as well. So if you know the answer to that Bible question, feel free to give us a call. It's always great to hear from you, and we'd like to have you as part of the discussion. Dr. Jennings, this is a great topic. I think we're going to have a good time with this one.
Well, it's important because it goes to every aspect of our life, spiritual, relational, business, scholastic. We're making decisions every day, and if we can learn how to make healthy ones, we can have a healthier life.
All right, more in just a moment. Stay tuned, stay with us. There is so much to come today, and as we've already stressed, we'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back.
You can join the conversation now by calling 800-775-4673.
The other day, someone came up to me and asked me a brilliant question. How can I optimize the functioning of my brain? Remember, the brain controls the entire body, regulates how fast the heart goes, regulate how tense the muscle is. Brain function is very important. There are many people out there claiming they have products that make the brain work better and more efficiently. But I just want us to think for a few minutes today about the big three, the three most important things that I think contribute to brain health. The first one is often overlooked. That is exercise. Did you realize that when you exercise, the blood flow to the brain, the oxygen, which is so vital to the brain, gets there in great and abundant supplies? You also make a host of other chemicals that make the brain work more efficiently. Have you ever gone out after you studied and ran for a while and then went back to study and saw how efficient your brain worked? Another very important thing for brain health is adequate hydration. That means drinking enough fluid. remember that 70% of your body is composed of water. And all these neurotransmitters and all these electrical impulses in the brain depend on water, which is our natural conductor. If you weren't to drink enough water and got dehydrated, your mind's not going to work well at all. So we've talked about exercise, water. What would be the third thing that would help the brain function adequately? That would be rest. The body is made for rest, or having that downtime when the brain can recuperate and make itself well. Both a weekly cycle rest as well as a nightly rest. Those are some of the big three that I think makes the chemistry of the brain at optimal levels. Now, you might want to take some supplements or other nutrients, but if you focus on these things, I think you've accomplished the gold, silver, and bronze of making your brain function adequately. I'm Dr. James Markham, wishing you the best of brain health.
Our guest today is Dr. Tim Jennings, and we are talking about making good decisions. You can join us on the air. All you have to do is pick up the phone. It's so easy to do. Give us a call, 800-775-4673. We have Dr. Jennings' book, Could It Be This Simple? A biblical method, or biblical model, rather, for healing the mind. We'll give one of these away at the end of the program. We're going to the phones right away today. We're going to Fonda in Tennessee. Fonda, so nice to have you on the air with us today.
Thank you.
All right, go ahead. You're on the air from coast to coast.
Okay, thank you. Uh-huh. Well, can you hear me?
We can hear you, and half the people in America can hear you.
Okay. Well, listen, I have a strong decision I've got to make. Our church split, and it went from like 70 to 25, and now it's down to 7. And I don't know whether to leave the church and go somewhere else. I'm not being fed right now.
Sure.
We spend maybe. And so my decision is whether to leave or stay, but nobody wants to be the first one to say goodbye.
Okay. Well, Fonda, I can't think of anything more difficult and challenging than a time when a church family decides to split up, because most people learn to rely on their churches as places of safety and comfort and stability. And when arguments break loose in a church, it really is a trying time. Dr. Jennings, any comment from your perspective?
I want to thank you for calling in, because this serves an example for lots of relationships. When you talk about a church family splitting up, we're talking relationships splitting up. Now, this happens to be church relationships, but it could also be within a genetic family, or with a husband, wife. Sometimes relationships split, or boyfriend, girlfriend. Right. And the difficulty is following what the evidence is telling us and following what our heartstrings are pulling us towards.
Right.
And sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where the evidence is saying, hey, 7 people is having a hard time sustaining a viable, functioning church with 7 people.
Right.
Okay? Right. Well, it's one of the oldest churches in Madison County. It started in 1820, and it's a beautiful church. We did get hit by the tornado, but it's really... I just don't know what to do because I love the church. But we're 20 miles away, and everybody else is in the community, and we have to drive that far.
Yeah, you have a decision to make, and you know, when you start talking about looking for a church family, that is always a big decision in life to make. And it seems to me, Dr. Jennings, that Fonda has a number of issues. One is, of course, her personal comfort in that particular church family, now that it's not what it used to be. The other also are the theological issues. I don't know what the split is over, and of course we can't get into all of that today, but if there are theological issues and she has to decide now, this group has a different theology that's leaving, the group that's staying maybe has changed their theology, I don't know where all that comes down, or maybe it's just over what color to paint the church building, we don't know. But certainly if it's over theological issues, those kind of things would have to be evaluated carefully. And that changes the nature, maybe, of the decision that would be made.
See, ultimately, when we talk about healthy decision-making, there are principles that we apply in the way the mind makes decisions, regardless of what the decision actually is or the circumstance. And generally, God designed the mind to work with our good judgment, our reasoning power. Isaiah 1:18, come let us reason together, though their sins are like scarlet, they'll be white like snow. Our reasoning power, weighing the evidences of the circumstance, being pulled with feelings, powerful emotions, which are confounding us. James chapter 1 says no one should say God leads to temptation. God tempts because no one is, God doesn't tempt anyone. Each one of us are tempted. We're drug away and enticed by our own evil desires or feelings. So we have this competition between evidence, truth, facts, and our own feelings pulling us in a different direction. And the challenge for us when we find ourselves in a valley of decision is to step back and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten our mind to comprehend evidences, truths, facts. If there's theological issues, truths of God's word. If there's circumstantial issues, then the evidence is the circumstances around us to help us follow where the truth is leading, regardless of what our feelings are pulling us to.
Fonda, I hope that has been helpful. As we go through the program today, of course, we're going to lay out a number of principles about good decision-making. But thanks a lot for calling, Fonda, and getting us off there with a good question. Thank you.
Do you agree? Let us know. 800-775-4673.
I bet you didn't know we were broadcasting over the air in so many locations. Here's another interesting fact. LifeTalk is growing at an average rate of 10 stations per year. Who knows where we'll be next year? We might even be coming to your town. LifeTalk Radio, 70 stations and counting.
After Jesus rose from the dead, he walked with his disciples for 40 days. Here in Luke chapter 24, verse 45, it says, "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." Can you imagine how wonderful it must have been asking him questions? He opened their understanding so they might comprehend the scriptures. In Proverbs 16, verse 22, it says that understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it. Jesus is still giving understanding. He is still giving the ability to comprehend the Word of God. Those who study the Word of God will have a wellspring of life.
Jerry Arnold is the senior pastor of the Collegedale Community Church in Tennessee. You can listen to his sermons every week on LifeTalk or by going to our podcast page and downloading his program, Wellspring.
To make good decisions, that's our topic. Dr. Tim Jennings, psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings, is our guest. We're giving one of his books away at the end of the program today. We have one of those that we're going to give away. And this is a great book. Could it be this simple? Many of you are acquainted with this book, and it has sold by the many, many thousands, and it really has flown off the shelves. A great book, A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. We'll give one of these away at the end of the program. You can be part of the drawing by giving us a call, joining us today on the air, 800-775-4673. Our next caller is Margaret in Canada. Margaret, so nice to have you on the air. Just a moment ago, I told the previous caller that she could be heard all across America. My apologies, because you also can be heard across Canada. So thank you so much, Margaret, for calling in today.
Yes.
Hi, go ahead, Margaret. You're on the air.
I would like to know how to control my mind so that I would be thinking positively, which would help in healing.
A great question, Margaret, because the positive state of our outlook on life affects our mind and our body. Dr. Jennings, a great question from Margaret.
Yeah, and it's a hugely broad question. It has multiple implications, because how do we control the mind? How do we have healthy thinking patterns? Right. And there's multiple factors that impact how our minds work. Physical factors, sleep deprivation. Sleep deprivation, something as simple as that, can interfere with healthy thinking. Right. So we want to have good physical practices in our life. Exercise, good nutrition, good diet, good sleep patterns. All these things to keep the body and the brain physically healthy. Very, very important. Right. Along those lines, I'll just throw in there, sometimes in this world of sin, we are born into the world with genetic, biological conditions that interfere with healthy thinking. One of those things that can happen later in life, we all have heard of, is Alzheimer's disease or Alzheimer's dementia. And as people get that disease later in life, the brain is being destroyed and their thinking is interfered. So I don't know exactly the circumstance that Margaret is dealing with, but if there are physical issues going on, hypothyroidism, for instance, if we have a thyroid condition, it's not treated, we're not going to have good thinking. So we need to have a good physical examination, work with our doctor, practice healthy lifestyles and so forth to keep the brain as healthy as possible. That being said, then other things that go to healthy thinking would be, what kind of things are we feeding our mind? What do we spend time watching, reading, putting into our mind? What kind of actual decisions do we make? Do we make decisions that go in harmony with our own good judgment, that we know are healthy and reasonable? Or do we allow powerful emotions to lead us to make decisions that in our own judgment we know really aren't right for us? And if we do that, then there's a consequence that comes. We feel guilty. We feel inadequate. We have low self-esteem issues that come, which then can cascade into a whole host of unhealthy thought patterns and internal to us that just damage our thinking even more.
All right. Margaret, did that help with your what you needed? Margaret?
Pardon?
Was that helpful to you?
Very much so.
Okay.
Since I've had a stroke, and that's why I have... I meant by healing, and healing the mind will help me in recovery from this, I know, and thank you.
You are welcome, Margaret, and thanks for calling in. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, and of course, we wish God's blessing for Margaret. There's so many people that struggle with so many issues, and which brings up something, Dr. Jennings, I think that's really important, and that is all of us have decisions to make every day of our life. Some tremendous decisions, some decisions that what will I have for lunch today? Those kinds of decisions. But all of us have a lot of decisions to make. But here was Margaret struggling with some things, of course, relating to major issues of life.
You know, one of the most difficult decisions, maybe we should talk about this one sometime on the show, is how do you make healthy decisions in the aftermath of having made an unhealthy decision?
Okay.
We've all made mistakes. We're all sinners. We've all messed up. Look at David, for instance, in the Bible. We've all made mistakes. How, in the aftermath of having messed up, made a bad decision, do we then go forward making healthy decisions? And sometimes that can be one of the worst and most difficult things to do.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment. And once again, your calls are welcome. We're talking about making decisions. Our guest is Dr. Tim Jennings, and you can give us a call. We'll be back.
Do you have a question for today's show? Call 800-775-4673.
Are you enjoying today's program? We know there's a lot of things you could be doing right now, or even other programs you could be watching. We just want you to know that by financially supporting this program and calling in to give your comments on air, you are supporting a great ministry. Thanks to your financial support, Live Talk has become the only full-time, live, Adventist-owned and operated radio network. We have over 70 stations, 13 live talk shows, one television program, training sessions for station managers, and live phone support. Whether you have one or even 100 questions, we're always here to help. 1 team, 1 mission, connecting people with Christ. This is Life Talk.
In this beautiful world that God created, sin came in. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God and passed on that tendency to disobedience to all their children. And we've inherited that. As Paul says in Romans 3:23, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. He paid for our sins. But then the healing process begins. And that is the important thing to remember. It is a process. And as our souls, our hearts, our lives are healed, they become better. For Life Talk, this is Dr. Jack Michael.
How do you make decisions? Think about it for just a moment. And the way that you use the methodology that you have for making decisions, does that lead you to making good decisions or maybe decisions that aren't quite so good? We'd love to hear from you. We have psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings with us, and we're talking about this topic, how to make good decisions. It was in a recent article in New Scientist, and it's out there in the news. In fact, this is the kind of thing that we do see in the news from time to time, how to make decisions. And we see a lot of self-help type books and magazines, all kinds of material out there. So making decisions, of course, is basic to life. When you call in, we have Dr. Jennings' book that we're going to give away today. It is Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. We'll give one of those away at the end of the program. We also have our Bible question out there, which is this. This is a good Bible question. What does Paul, we're talking about the Apostle Paul now, say is the effect when a person's mind is controlled by the Spirit of God? 800-775-HOPE. Dr. Jennings, it seems, and this is what I think this article in New Scientist was pointing out, and that is that most people make decisions based on the emotion of the moment. I feel this way, therefore, it must be the right way to go. Is that a good approach to life?
No, actually, it's a very unhealthy approach. It's more of a reflexive approach to life, an instinctual approach to life, not a thoughtful, reasoned, informed approach to life. We have been created in God's image with high faculties of reason and individuality and intelligence. And of course, Satan wants to destroy our ability to use those faculties and wants to destroy the image of God within us.
Right.
And one of the ways he does that is to try to inflame powerful feelings that will then dominate our worldview, our ideas, our beliefs, our perspectives, and get us to make decisions that are based on feelings. And he gets ideas in our mind. I mean, even in culture, people have this idea that, well, if it feels good, it's right. Mm-hmm. If it feels right, it must be right. Something feels as right. good can't be wrong. Those types of ideas, you hear them floating around, they're right. all lies. Feelings, I want the audience to take one thing away from this talk today, this show today, to know that feelings can lie. You can have a feeling, it can be powerful, and it can be completely false.
Okay, now I know that many people, Dr. Jennings, are going to have this question. We've heard so much about feelings over the last number of years, especially as it relates to men. Men just make decisions, they don't feel anything. Therefore, because they make decisions based on their mind, they actually arrive at bad decisions. And is there anything that you can add to help sort all of that out?
Yeah, I think what they're talking about is people who compartmentalize. They're not whole. We want the mind to be whole. See, we don't want people to be absent of emotion. Okay, we want people to be able to empathize, to connect, to feel the pain of another person's pain, to have love for another person, to care for that person. That's part of our whole experience. God made us emotional beings as well. What happens in what you're describing there are people who don't know how to process feelings, don't know how to connect with people, they don't know how to work through feelings of empathy and so forth. And so what they do is they compartmentalize, wall that off, and just become very fact-based, almost like, you know, Vulcans or a machine
sure.
in which they don't allow themselves to experience feelings. That's not healthy either. That's an imbalance as well. In a balanced approach, we're aware of our emotions, right. but our emotions don't determine our course of action.
But without emotions, we would make bad decisions.
Yeah, perfect example, Jesus Christ in Garden of Gethsemane.
Uh-huh.
Did he have powerful emotions in Gethsemane? Yes, he did.
I would think so.
Well, it says very clearly.
He
was in great anguish, he said. Okay, this is an emotional experience he had. But did he let the emotions determine his course of action or the decisions he made? No. Said even my soul is anguished to the point of death, but he wouldn't choose to avoid the cross.
Let's talk about that for just a moment. I think that's such a great point to bring up. He must have had overwhelming emotions to run. You know, the fear and flight mechanism
sure.
you would think in his life would have set in at that point. Because he was a human being just like we are, and none of us would want to be crucified. I mean, well, I'll take that back. There might be a few that aren't well balanced,
right.
you know, but the average person doesn't choose crucifixion.
Right.
Jesus, of course, was well balanced. At the same time, I kind of feel that Jesus would not have made that intellectual decision if it had not been for the emotion of love.
Well, love is more than an emotion, though. Love is a principle upon which life is designed to operate. It's the
sure.
actual principle of beneficence. It's a law, like the law of gravity. So love is much more, and it includes emotions, but it's much bigger than emotions. So, no, I don't think it was an emotion-based decision there in the garden, but in the Garden of Gethsemane, I think he had emotions of joy. It says, for the joy set before him, You know, like a parent who sees a child in danger will throw themselves in harm's way to save that child.
Right.
Okay, other-centered love, but it's more than just an emotion as well. It's an intelligent act as well.
Sure,
and you see
it
that
is.
Struggle.
Right. Because the parent knows, to use that example, that they're not throwing their life away for no reason whatsoever.
Right.
They're trying to save the life of someone else. And,
right.
And that may be a split decision, but it also is an intellectual decision.
But in Christ in Gethsemane, it was not a split decision.
No.
He really weighed through that and went over. Was it three times he went to the Father in prayer? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Let's find another way. And you identified the main issue there, that he had those powerful feelings to act in self-interest, to save himself. But at no time ever did he surrender that. He gave himself in love freely. So knowing, take my life, I will give it freely, a choice,
right,
despite feelings. That is the model for us when we find ourselves in powerful decisions, to step back, seek God, his plan, his truth, his methods, his character, and then apply that with our power of choice.
You're a psychiatrist.
Yes.
Tell us some of the bad decisions that people make based on emotions.
The most common are relationships. Clearly the most common to get into or stay in relationships that are clearly unhealthy. And how they do this is they make the judgment that this person is a good person to be involved with based on how they feel towards the person, rather than stepping back and using their faculty of reason to evaluate what are the qualifications of this person, what are their character traits, what do they demonstrate to me in who they are as a person, and is that a good match and a good fit with me, who I am as a person. And instead of bringing the intelligence into the evaluation, it's a feeling-based decision only, and often there's terrible matches. They don't blend well together. There's friction constantly, fights for control, and I see this number one issue is relationship decisions.
Well, you know, you chose a good one, I think. When you talk about relationships, you talk about two people coming together, a man and a woman, coming together, saying, you know, falling in love and this kind of thing. How do you sort out what is true love and would make a good decision for life from what is not?
Yeah, what I tell my patients is I tell them before you actually even begin the dating process, you need to step back and know your own self well. Know what are the qualifications that a life partner must possess in order to be qualified to be with you.
Now, that's logical. That's reasonable, right?
And one of those qualifications will be that there's a physical attraction. There's an emotional connection. Imagine that you have all the other qualifications, that they're kind, they're generous, they have the same religious beliefs, and all these other things that you want. But when you think about giving them a kiss, it would feel like kissing your grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not qualified.
They're off the list.
They're off the list. Okay, so their emotion piece is there.
Sure.
Intelligently, it's there. But what happens is people make that the only criterion. That they're able to move me deeply emotionally. And when I get that deep emotional movement, that's love. That is a deception. It's often not love. It's usually either lust or dependency, but not love.
Well, and so many people have been swept off their feet,
to use
the term, by those emotional chemicals.
Right.
Correct?
That's exactly right.
And then they end up in trouble.
It's an example where feelings lie.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned. There is much to come today. We would like to have a conversation with you as well. 800-775-HOPE.
Has Steve made you think today? Tell us about it. 800-775-4673.
LifeTalk is revolutionizing the way you listen to Christian radio. LifeTalk is now broadcasting on live365.com, streaming CD quality music and live talk programs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week over the internet. Live365.com allows you to use your favorite audio programs like iTunes, Windows Media Player, or Winamp, so you don't have to spend time learning a new program just to listen. LifeTalk Kids is one of 3 audio streams available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you're a kid between the ages of 3 and 15, you'll love this music. LifeTalk Kids plays great programs like Your Story Hour, The Bible in Living Sound, and The Bible Explorers Club, along with lots of great children's music. Parents, LifeTalk Kids draws hearts of kids to the heart of God. Why not support LifeTalk and become a Live 365 VIP member today? For as little as 12 cents a day, you can get VIP access to all 3 of our audio streams, as well as streams from over 10,000 other professional and amateur stations around the world in every genre possible. Search LifeTalk at live365.com and click the banner to receive a free 5-day trial of all that Live365 has to offer. That's live365.com, keyword LifeTalk.
Thank you.
Our guest is psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings. We are talking about making decisions. How do you do it and do it well? We're going to the phones now. We're going to Mississippi and speak with Judy. Judy, it's great to have you on the air with us.
Hi, how you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
I was calling. I've been in a program that's very awesome. It's www.reformu.com with Steve Carrington, and it is the most awesome program. It teaches you that you need to put God in your heart before you can do anything else in life, to overcome things that gets in your way in life, you know, right. Mentally, physically. You know, you're born in your flesh, your sin.
Right.
You're born in sin, and it helps you, and he has books, everything. And when you go to the website, it's right. A tape and everything. You
sure.
Would love it. Just go well, to it.
Right. You well, know, Judy, there are a lot of those self-help programs out there, either coming from a religious perspective or non-religious perspective. But I think you have mentioned something that to me is vitally important. And Dr. Jennings, let me get a response from you. It seems to me that people by themselves cannot make good decisions without the spiritual component. From a theological standpoint, from a scriptural standpoint, we are whole beings, which includes our mind, our body, and also the spiritual side of life, our relationship with God. And I think only in light of the presence of God in our lives can we truly make the right decisions. Now, I don't want to demean the logical power of someone that's not a Christian. That would be unfair to them. But I think to make truly the right decisions, we need to have a relationship with God.
Well, there's no question. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of love. And the Holy Spirit enlightens the mind with truth. Even before we're converted, it's the Holy Spirit working to bring us to conversion. So
right.
The person who hasn't accepted Christ as their Savior, hasn't opened their heart to God, the Holy Spirit is still pouring light into their minds, still bringing truth to their comprehension. That's the job of the Spirit, to bring truth to our minds, invigorate our faculties to be able to comprehend and grasp truth. Then, once the Holy Spirit enlightens our mind to truth in any circumstance that we're seeking it, or the Holy Spirit's working to bring us to conversion, the Holy Spirit leaves us free to make the decision ourselves. The Holy Spirit does not make the decision for us to accept the truth or reject the truth. When we accept the truth, then the Holy Spirit pours out more power, more of the Spirit. We become partakers of the divine nature to give us strength to follow through with the choice. Mm-hmm. And there's a supernatural element there that I can't really describe specifically, but God works in the heart and mind to cleanse, to heal, to renew, to bring new motives into the heart for those who have understood and applied the truth that God has brought to their lives.
Well, once again, Dr. Jennings, you're a psychiatrist, of course. That's a fairly unique perspective, isn't it, from your profession?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for psychiatrists, absolutely. Psychiatrists, many of them, in fact, I think 3 out of 4 psychiatrists don't believe in God.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Judy, thanks a lot for that observation, and thanks for calling, Judy. God bless.
Okay, thank you. Uh-huh. God bless y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Dr. Jennings, let's get back to the emotional component. When a person is going to make a decision, model for us, if you would. Tell us what it means to make a reasonable decision that brings together the emotions of life with the logic of life. You were telling us just a moment ago about two people falling in love.
Right.
They have all these emotional chemicals washing through their bodies.
Right.
They're trying to make a decision. Go ahead and finish painting that picture for us.
Yeah,
if you
what I tell my patients is before you actually meet the person, before you start dating, step back first and make a list of non-negotiable qualifications a person must have to be qualified. Now, I use this analogy. Imagine that your dad owns a big company and he asked you to head a search committee to hire a new general manager for his company.
Uh-huh.
I said, what would you base the decision on or the recommendation to hire on? And they say, well, the qualifications for the job. I said, uh-huh. You mean you wouldn't base that simply on how they made you feel during the interview? And they said, no. I said, what's more important in your life, the manager at your dad's company or your life partner? What's more important? So shouldn't we make our decisions for a life partner based on the qualifications they possess to be our life partner?
Right.
And everybody has a list.
Now, you don't believe in romance then?
No. Romance is, no, you have to listen to me.
All right.
Everybody has a list.
Sure.
It's just that a lot of people never actually allow themselves to consciously be aware of what the list is.
Okay.
We all have a list of what we find attractive. We all have a list of what marries up well with us in personality and so forth. But the more we can bring that into our conscious awareness, then the more we can make an intelligent decision in evaluating people to see where they fit the list. And one of those I mentioned before is how they make us feel. We want somebody who makes us feel good when we're around them. Of course, that's one criteria on the list, but it's not the only criteria on the list. And for a lot of my patients who have insecurity issues in dating, I tell them, true or false, in order to be qualified to be your life partner, they have to like you for who you are. So if you're dating someone and you get the signal they don't like you, they're not happy with you, they're sending messages of disapproval, thank them for sharing with you the information that you need to know they're not qualified to be with you.
All right, how to make good decisions. That's what we're talking about today. That's really what life is about, making the right decisions. If you'd like to talk to us, feel free to give us a call. Dr. Tim Jennings is with us, and we'll be right back.
Make a comment on today's show. Call 800-775-4673.
Psalms 23 from the New International Version. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This wonderful, encouraging psalm is so full of meaning and personal impact for the reader. In fact, it's written in such a way that you and I can enter into the psalm personally. And that happens at the outset. Verse 1, the Hebrew literally reads, Yahweh, my shepherd, I lack nothing. That word my, that personal pronoun, makes all the difference in the world, friend. Because of that, this psalm can become your psalm. David's experience, your experience. Make this psalm your psalm.
If you want to follow Christ and would like to learn more, call 1-800-775-HOPE.
Life Talk Kids is our new audio stream for kids. Life Talk Kids offers music, stories, and drama. You can enjoy Life Talk Kids 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Kids love being able to go online and listen to programs made just for them. But even if you don't have a kid in the home, you may find yourself listening to the stories and getting caught in the drama. All you have to do is go to lifetalk.net.
Could it be this simple? We're giving this book away at the end of the program. It is by our guest today, Dr. Tim Jennings. And if you haven't read this book, you're missing out. It is a great book. We have one. We'll give it away, as I mentioned, at the end of the program from among those of you that call in and join us on the air. It is our way of saying thank you, courtesy of our guest today. Our Bible question is this. What does Paul say is the effect when a person's mind is controlled by the Spirit of God? We're still looking for an answer to the Bible question. Is really a very, very good one. Dr. Jennings, let's get back to the emotions. We were talking about making a good decision about marriage. Probably no more decision of no decision of life is entered into with more emotion than the decision to get married. And you are trying to help us understand, I think, in this really good example, how emotions and our reason can come together to make the right kinds of decisions.
Absolutely. We want that whole balance. So we evaluate the person's qualifications. And think about this. If you have a list of qualifications, they share the same values in God that you do. They like the same activities you like. They want children if you want children, or vice versa, whatever. I mean, and the more of that you recognize intelligently that they actually possess in character, does that make you have less emotional attraction to them, or do you get more emotional attraction to them as you realize how qualified they are? So bringing the intelligent piece in doesn't hurt anything. Conversely, if you find somebody that's really attractive and meet them, and then they actually don't possess any of these qualities, in order to keep the emotions alive, you have to deny the reality and continue to pretend they're something that they're not. Because when reality comes in and they don't share the values you have, they don't like the things you like, and so forth and so on, that causes you to actually have less of an attraction to them. And the only way to stay attractive is to live in a false world. So using our intelligence with the awareness of our emotions brings the balance and harmony and helps a healthy relationship grow stronger. But there's another type of decision-making I wanted to talk about today,
All right.
If we could.
Sure.
And that is, What I've seen oftentimes, especially since we want to talk about God, is in religious circles, powerful preachers that can stir the emotions to make commitments and decisions without ever enlightening the mind, without ever giving evidences. They can just give rhetoric. They can give even some Bible quotations with the rhetoric, and the audiences will shout amen.
Right.
But they don't actually come to know the truth about God and His nature and character. Extreme examples, David Koresh and the Branch Davidians, and other cult leaders. These are powerfully emotionally moving oratory that these guys can do.
Flip on the radio or the television and listen, and you can see other examples, maybe not to the extent of the one that you just mentioned, but there certainly are numerous examples out there. And, of course, Dr. Jennings, I am a preacher. And I am aware that when people make decisions, I need to make certain that they have a basis upon which to make that decision. It doesn't mean that it's not without emotion.
No.
Because coming to Jesus is an emotional thing.
On the road to Emmaus, when Jesus took them through the scriptures, it says their heart burned within them.
Right.
Right?
That's emotion.
Okay. But based on the evidences of scripture. Rather than just a powerful oratory without enlightening the mind with truth about God.
We need another hour to talk about that.
Yes.
We'll get back to it. We also have calls on the board that we're going to pick up as soon as we get back. So stay tuned. Stay with us. There is more to come, and we would love to hear from you.
What do you think? Give us a call. 800-775-4673.
I want to talk to you today for a few moments about an important word to me, and that is the word of healing. There are three types of healings I want to focus your attention on. The first type is a type that we see often in the Bible, the sudden healing, raising from the dead, leprosy healed, the blind made to see. The second type of healing, which is also a form of healing, is when God, through the Holy Spirit, gives a person the power to change their habits. When habits are changed, the chemistry of the body also changes. For instance, quitting cigarettes, beginning an exercise program, drinking enough water are all ways that help our body's chemistry. Lastly, when we get to heaven, our bodies are all going to be healed. We're going to be given new bodies. I'm Dr. James Markham, wishing you good healing.
Psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings is our guest today. We're talking about making good decisions. We're going to California now and speak with Layla. Nice to have you on the phone with us today, Layla.
Okay, I'm Lena.
Lela, all right. We were discussing that during break. Thanks for correcting us. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, in regards to the lady whose church split, there's a very good book out called How to Survive in a Dead Church.
Okay.
It's by Doug Batchelor. I have it. It's a very good book.
All right. How to Survive in a Dead Church.
Yes.
Well, what about when one splits, though? Who do you... You have a decision to make. Which way do you go? And
that is
always so challenging, of course, and a very serious issue at the same time.
Well, it sounds like she's left in... the church is dead that she's left in.
Right. Well, thanks for mentioning that, Lela. God bless.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Florida. Now we're going to speak with Leonard. Leonard, nice to have you on the air with us today.
Oh, great. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
My question is, I have like a couple of questions.
Okay.
And this is for the psychologist. is there a form of Christian psychology that is taught and accredited somewhere in some university? And
okay.
Are all marriages like blessed by God? And another thing about marriage.
Well, let's take these one at a time, Leonard, and so we can sort it out. Our guest, of course, today is a psychiatrist, Dr. Tim Jennings. And Dr. Jennings, what about the first question?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a psychiatrist, and so I'm not really familiar with the psychology programs out there and whether there's an accredited Christian psychology program. So I really don't have the information to answer that question.
Okay. Regarding, now, there are a lot of Christian universities that will have masters or doctorates in psychology.
That's right. And so, I think so. You could probably call some Christian universities and get that information very quickly.
Right.
If you did, or even an internet search could find that. Regarding the marriage question, are there
programs, and I'm not aware of this either, out there for psychologists that are run by Christian organizations saying that we have bought into a certain philosophy or anything of that nature?
You know, I'm not 100% certain.
Right.
I know there is an organization.
It's a different field, by the way, we should
American Association
of
Christian Counselors is an organization that focuses on Christian counseling, and you can contact them as well. I know my book is designed to actually present a new Christian philosophy for understanding the mind that actually is a comprehensive understanding for the mind that we're hopeful is going to become a standard backbone for Christian understanding of the mind in these programs around the country as this time unfolds. So
now there are certain ministerial associations also in local areas that will have a list of individuals that are Christian psychologists or even psychiatrists as well that would have more of a Christian approach and philosophy.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, my experience, a lot of the Christian approaches, if I've actually examined them, are really just cognitive behavioral therapy with Bible texts thrown in.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's true for all the programs, but I've seen some that are that way.
Sure.
Now, rather than a fully integrated, from the ground up, understanding the design for the mind as God designed it, and then what went wrong, that sin damaged to heal, that sin damaged the mind and God's plan to heal and restore.
Which, once again, is the approach of your book.
The approach of my book, exactly.
Right.
Regarding marriage, the question about whether all marriages are blessed by God, the answer is no. Some marriages are clearly traps of Satan, and they should have never been entered into in the first place.
But at the same time, that's not an excuse for divorce.
I don't know that that's the truth either. We'll have to talk about that.
All right. Very good. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
Call 800-775-4673 to share your thoughts on Steve Gallimore Live.
Did you miss part of or today's entire program? Did you know that LifeTalk makes every Steve Gallimore Live available for download? All you have to do is go to lifetalk.net and click on our podcast link. Under Steve Gallimore Live, you'll find the video on demand icon. To download the programs, left-click, hold and drag the icon onto your favorite podcast software, such as iTunes, then release. It's just that easy. Once you've downloaded Steve Gallimore Live, you can watch a show at your convenience. Here's the best part. When you subscribe, new programs will automatically download. Simply go to our site, lifetalk.net, and click the podcast link. There you'll find detailed instructions and other programs now available for download. Once again, that's lifetalk.net for Steve Gallimore Live and other LifeTalk podcasts.
And every little girl wants to know that she's daddy's girl, and she wants to hear that she's beautiful, and she wants to be held in her dad's arms and told wonderful things. And my dad just wasn't that kind of man.
You may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down, rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation.
How to make good decisions. We're having a good time with this program, but at the same time, it is a very serious issue. This is not something that really should be taken lightly. But of course, it is great to talk about how do we make decisions, and that's exactly what we're doing today. Our guest is Dr. Tim Jennings, and we have Leonard in Florida that is on the phone with us. And Leonard, you had one more question you were going to ask as we went out to break. So let me come back to you, Leonard, and have you finish that part of your question.
Thank you very much. The other part of my question is, how firmly should you stick to your list of life mate traits, or should you be flexible?
Okay, I appreciate that question because I probably didn't clarify clearly what I meant by a list. The list that I'm talking about are non-negotiable things, things that the person must possess in their character or else you would not be satisfied with them. So for instance, if black and white one for me is I could never be happy with a smoker. And if I were to date a smoker and get married to a smoker, the first thing I would start doing is I would start working on them to get them to quit, which means I don't accept them for who they are. They're not acceptable to me. I've got to change them in some way. So the relationship is not a loving, accepting relationship. It's now a relationship where I'm pressuring, coercing to make the person change to become acceptable to me. So the only things that go on this list are such things of that nature. It's not the things, oh, it'd be nice if she was a Tennessee Vol fan. I happen to marry a Florida Gator fan. Okay. All well, right. That's okay. It's not. That was not on my non-negotiable list. So I can live
okay.
with that.
Okay. You can live with that.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay.
It causes your blood pressure to go up sometimes, but you're okay.
But yeah, we're okay with that.
All right.
But if she smoked, it could have never worked out.
Sure.
Never worked
right.
out. And so only things on the list are the things that are absolutely non-negotiable. And so it's really the list is about knowing yourself well more than knowing the other person.
Well, let
and then
me pick
you compare
up on
the
that.
Other person to what your personality and structure is.
Well, what about a person that makes out one of these extensive lists and the list itself becomes unreasonable in real life?
Generally, there's the list of non-negotiables are not extensive.
Right.
If it's extensive, then there's a whole lot of things that shouldn't be on the list. Their wants, their things that be their likes. Oh, I'd like to have this, but it's not a non-negotiable.
Well, talking about good decisions, is there a way to make a good decision about what goes on the list? The list, of course, helps make the ultimate decision, the overall decision about what will be done. But what about the decision to put things on the list?
Yeah, I mean, that's where you have to use your good judgment. And I mean, some of these are pretty, when you start thinking about it, pretty obvious. For instance, I mentioned one earlier, true or false, in order to be qualified to be with you, they have to genuinely like you for who you are, the person you are.
Okay.
If they don't like you for who you are they qualified to be your life partner? No,
well,
it's pretty obvious, okay?
Right.
That's one that goes on the list.
Right.
Okay, and so there are other ones like that are just really, really clear. Some of these other things like, well, I'd like them to have a certain educational level, that may or may not be an absolute. It depends on the person. Most of the time, that's a want rather than an absolute requirement. The quality of the person and their character and their integrity, those are the things that really matter. And so that's what we have to evaluate and look at.
But it may be true, though, if a person feels like in order to have the kind of conversation they want with someone that is in the marriage relationship, that they would like a certain level of intellectual attainment.
The educational level really is a reflection of IQ.
Okay.
And what really matters is not the actual educational level, it's the compatible IQ level.
Okay.
And so if you have somebody who is really quite intelligent, but maybe they took the direction of being a self-made contractor and they have a multi-million dollar contracting company.
Right.
But they've never actually gone through formal doctoral education. But they're quite intelligent. You could be very compatible with that person.
Okay.
But it's really, so the education level is a reflection, though, in a certain general way of IQ.
Right. Okay. All right. Thanks so much, Leonard. Great questions. And we're moving along because of shortness of the time. But thank you so much for calling, Leonard.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to Mary in Colorado. Mary, nice to have you on the air today.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I was trying to answer the Bible question.
Okay, we can do that. Now, let me give the question again. It is, what does Paul say is the effect when a person's mind is controlled by the Spirit of God? And what would your answer be, Mary?
Well, the only thing I can think of, he says, my sheep know my voice.
Okay.
And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name.
All right.
And he leadeth them out. You know, those are some of the scriptures here in chapter 10. I don't know
right.
if this is what you're
So they respond. About. They respond to the call of Christ. All right, Mary, let me, I'm moving us along because we really don't have much time left, but thank you so much, Mary, for calling and for being a good Bible student, Mary. God bless.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, let's give the question and let's talk about this, Dr. Jennings. What does Paul say is the effect when a person's mind is controlled by the Spirit of God? There is something that happens, according to the Apostle Paul, life and peace. Now, the answer that we were looking for is found in Romans 8, 6 through 7. Once again, what is the effect when a person's mind is controlled by the Spirit of God? Life and peace. How does that strike you?
That's exactly right. It says those who live according to the Spirit gain from the Spirit eternal life. Those who live according to the carnal nature from that nature will reap destruction.
Are we talking about decision making then? Because every day, as we look at things, whether we should do them or not do them, it seems to me that the first priority should be whether or not this is from the Spirit, this is from God, this is something that really should be done morally.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing that Paul talks about from the Spirit, we get certain traits of character from the Spirit that the Bible calls fruits.
Right.
Okay, so the mind takes on the qualities of Christ-likeness, patience, kindness, gentleness. But the last one, self-control or self-governance. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we don't lose control of ourselves and fall out of control. We get greater and greater self-governance, self-control in governance of ourselves rather than being controlled by passions and feelings.
We need a lot more time on this topic, Dr. Jennings. Maybe we'll have to do part two sometime.
Okay, we'll do that.
20 seconds, last word you'd like to leave with our audience today.
Be a thinker. Yeah, come, let us reason together. Paul says that the mature are those who have developed by practice the ability to discern the right from the wrong. So practice thinking, practice reasoning, pursue the truth, follow the truth wherever it goes, because God is the source of all truth. And as we follow truth, we end up back in connection with Him. The devil wants to divert us away with distortions, and one of the things that distorts the truth is emotions and feelings.
Dr. Jennings, thank you so much for being with us. It has been a delightful conversation, an educational one. Thank you. Lila in California is going to receive the book. To all of you, thanks for being with us today. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Steve Gallimore Live. We're here Monday through Friday to help you think critically about the current world events from a biblical worldview. We would like to say a special thank you to those who faithfully support Life Talk through financial gifts. You make it possible to continue sending out a clear and undiluted message of hope in a world that's pulling apart at the seams. For more information on how you can participate in this vital ministry, visit our website, lifetalk.net, or call toll-free 800-775-4673. Thanks also to our research volunteers and our radio and television production teams. Please join us tomorrow for Steve Gallimore Live.